Good day and welcome to Minnesota Masonic Histories and Mysteries, where we will explore the origins of all things Masonic in our great state of Minnesota and perhaps uncover a few mysteries of our ancient craft along the way. I was really moved by the oration that was given by last year's Grand Orator, Reed Endersby. So I asked Reed to come into the podcast studio and recite that oration. So, Reed, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And, you know, he is a radio professional, and I did the professional purposely because he doesn't like when people do their P's right into the mic. So
the old P-popping.
So I was P-popping.
And I was just a former radio hack.
So I'm going to be watching for P-popping here. Have at it, Reed.
Thank you, John, and appreciate the opportunity to share this from April of this year. I'm going to read this verbatim. It's an honor to stand before you today and a privilege having this opportunity to share some perspective on how we might band together, fine-tune, and ensure a strong, healthy future of our gentle craft. We can and will do great things when we commit to collaborating and uniting our Masonic family together. Today I'm going to talk a bit about our inspirational history, our purpose, a return to getting back to basics, and share examples of how we navigate through life, ideally bringing what we aspire to be as Masons into our daily lives, both within and outside of the lodge. Are we, as Masons, who we say we are? In the 1850s, Minneapolis had a population of about 4,000. The town of St. Anthony on the opposite side of the river was perhaps some larger. The potent influence of the Masonic fraternity was apparent all over Minnesota. Hennepin Lodge No. 4 had been formed in 1853, and its membership comprised the leading men of Hennepin County. In St. Anthony, then in another county, Cataract Lodge No. 2, the parent lodge, was thriving. Cataract Lodge was formed in 1851 by some prominent founding fathers, including names such as Ames, Stevens, Godfrey, Atwater, and Northrop. In 1856, Grandmaster Pearson issued a dispensation for a lodge at Mankato, the fee for a charter being $25 in those days. Mankato was at that time a little collection of log cabins and frail frame structures, mostly huddled about the steamboat landing. During that same year, dispensations were granted to lodges at Winona, Henderson, St. Paul, Monticello, Wabasha, Pleasant Grove, and St. Cloud. The roads at the time leading to St. Paul were mere trails, hardly passable for wagons, which of course sounds like similar terrain to the potholes of the spring in Minnesota. As ranks within lodges grew everywhere, members from both Hennepin No. 4 and Cataract went on to form Minneapolis 19 in January 1857. A month later in February, Faribault Lodge No. 9 was officially established. Now keep in mind, all of this was happening a year before Minnesota was admitted to statehood. Growth did not let up. In 1867, Corinthian Lodge was formed in Farmington. A few years later, in Fergus Falls, the charter for Cornerstone Lodge surfaced. This happening 6 years before the railroad had even reached that part of the state. Blue Lodges, the original social network of these growing towns, saw unparalleled growth and dotted the landscape across our state. In those days of 1857, our brothers were forced to confront dire circumstances, which were dark and gloomy. The crop of 1857 had been very poor, business was depressed, immigration had ceased, and real estate was valueless. Financial skill was powerless. No one could borrow money as no one had it. During these years, the scarcity of money was appalling. Hard times reigned supreme. During the darkest days of our early history, the brothers of these lodges performed their duties well as Masons, bestowing charity on some without the pale. Although they worked hard during the daytime, history recorded how they cheerfully sat weary nights by the bedsides of sick and dying brothers, ministering to their comfort. By all accounts, the focus of our forefathers and their unwavering support for one another is an excellent example of what is possible when brethren dwell together in harmony, inspired by a noble contention, or rather emulation, of who best can work and best agree. When we look at the insurmountable odds faced by our founders, they truly came together, and most importantly, took care of each other. In the face of crop failures, food shortages, illness, a depressed economy, and literally no money, how easy would it have been for them to simply give up? When it mattered most, these brothers came together in the face of great adversity and committed to collaborating harmoniously, however difficult circumstances may have been. The wisdom of the past was hard-earned, and our dead ancestors may have something useful to tell us. Perhaps they would ask us, have we in today's Blue Lodge become too transactional in our personal interactions, hasty with planning, ambivalent with finances, and content to simply settle for good enough? Are the tenets of our profession, the lessons contained within our teachings, just words and long passages that we merely memorize, recite, and repeat? Are we who we say we are? We took a brief look back into our history, fast forward to the present. The past few years have certainly given our society a surplus of challenges, uncertainty and unrest, a modern crucible of adversity on many fronts. In today's world with technology so readily available, at times it seems our society is choked with the noise of news and social media and starved of history. In a recent national poll, a mere 29% of Gen Z could correctly name the three branches of government. 64% of adult Americans did not know what Auschwitz was. 64%. Our world seems all too content to be binging on the wrong things and dying of hunger of things that really matter. There is a force in the world actively trying to divide us, often with great success. Social media and its temptation to shout from the digital rooftop continues to test our limits and restraint. We can't seem to resist the opportunity to sound off, to feel a brief rush of self-righteous superiority by pressing send or post. When will we truly value silence and circumspection as more than mere words? Are we who we say we are? The world in which we live today has less and less interest in self-improvement or seeking ways to evolve and grow. You need not look far to see articles highlighting, if not celebrating, how America is pulling back from values that once defined it. Patriotism, religious faith, receding more every year. The social disconnectedness of the 21st century and literal isolation in our digital world are very prominent factors. Now, with that in mind, for those who are interested in self-improvement and come knocking on our doors, for the man in today's fractured society seeking to chip away at his rough ashlar with the goal of being a better man, are we providing a thriving lodge environment in which it can truly happen? Or are we on autopilot and deferring to the way we've always done it before? If we as Masons do not live up to our own obligations and standards, how will we attract and retain both new and existing members? We are successfully bringing in new members while promising strong bonds of brotherhood, community service, charity, and time well spent. Our marketing material assures, if not promises, a life-changing experience to those who seek membership. Are we making good and truly delivering? To our current worshipful masters and wardens with us today, where do you plan on setting the bar for standards in your lodge? If you choose to have average standards, you should expect to have average on all fronts: attendance, participation, and retention. Your standards will affect membership at every turn. General Colin Powell once said, quote, "If you are going to achieve excellence in big things, you develop the habit in little matters. Excellence is not an exception, it is a prevailing attitude," unquote. By the way, excellence is not elitism, nor does being classy somehow equate to classism. We are at a critical juncture in which we must live up to, exemplify, and deliver on our promises to new and existing members alike. Over the past few years, there has been an undercurrent churning in our society with a renewed craving for the tenets of our profession: brotherly love, relief, and truth. Brethren, the world in which we live is in need of what we stand for. Our communities and neighborhoods, now more than ever, have been seeking a place in which there exists religious tolerance, love of freedom, and a place that unites people who would have otherwise remained at a perpetual distance. What are we doing in our neighborhoods or at our jobs to be an example, a shining light? Worshipful Brother Sam Hilburn once said, quote, "We have a job to do in communicating to the average public what Masonry is all about," unquote. A challenge for all of us is to communicate by example and regain social capital or visibility in our respective cities, towns, and neighborhoods. Are you willing to be that brother and do the work? We have been blessed with Grandview, BeAFreemason.org, and other technological advancements which have been game changers in funneling prospects and helping us grow and evolve. However, how often do we come preoccupied with simply generating petitions, cranking out another group as if we were a degree mill or assembly line? Do our members, new and old, really know what it means to be a Freemason? If the onboarding process and group mentoring is hasty, or the expectations given to the candidate are vague, there is value in slowing down. How often are your degree teams asked to crank out sequential performances, leaving them burned out? We've all been there before as we line up and congratulate the newly raised Master Mason and often stop there. We assume he will speak up with where he'd like to become involved, thus treating the Master Mason degree as some sort of finish line. This will ultimately generate little more than paper members who will drift away if we don't earnestly solicit their involvement. Both recruitment and retention are vitally important, but involvement is key. People are loyal to the things to which they create or contribute. The work which lies before us is comparable to that of rebuilding a franchise, and it can be done, but it will take time and collaboration. Steve Jobs' famous quote, "Great things are never done by one person, they're done by a team of people." Sage words indeed. Lodge involvement, motivation, and regular attendance is predicated upon a very essential concept: a brother feeling loved, wanted, and needed within our ranks. Back to the basics. Sowing the seeds of meaningful friendships, true bonds between brothers, mentoring, being there for one another when life happens. In a recent poll conducted by the Supreme Council, over 60% of our brothers across a pendant body said that more education was their number one request. Now, in addition to the obvious Masonic education, Mackey, Pike, Manly P. Hall, Art De Hoyos, and others, what would happen in our lodges if we were to incorporate, on occasion, some real-life, relevant material to help brothers navigate the challenges we all face out in the world? I will be forever grateful to Most Worshipful Brother John Gann for sharing the Face It Foundation with me a few years back. In case you're not familiar, the Face It Foundation gives men the support they need to face depression, take control of their recovery, and get their lives back. Now, this is not an advertisement. It's a real-life example of something that a brother shared when it mattered most. Check it out, faceitfoundation.org. Navigating our lives as men in today's world, it's not easy. Another impactful option to consider injecting into your lodge education programs is the Better Man Project. It's spearheaded by Brother Matt Versace. Depression, addiction, broken relationships, divorce. the challenges of child rearing, PTSD, death of a loved one, declining health, job loss. These are the difficult realities which confront us in one form or another every day. Are we truly there for one another with authenticity when we see a real life version of the grand hailing sign of distress? And when I see or hear it given, are you paying attention closely enough to notice a brother in need? The late Robin Williams once said that people don't fake depression, they fake being okay. We have ample opportunities to be there for one another, both in and outside the lodge, when it matters most. Personally, when I finally let down my guard and shared life's challenges with some trusted brothers, the lessons imparted in our cipher came to life and launched a level of authenticity and friend accountability like I had never known before. The it factor of Freemasonry cascaded like a tidal wave. At times I look back and wish I had not asked myself, who is my brother, but instead asked, am I a real brother to somebody? Who can count on you? Are you someone to whom a brother can bring his troubles without fear of judgment or snarky remarks veiled in humor? I love the quote hanging in Owatonna, Star in the East Lodge number 33, be the man that you needed when you were younger. Since we last gathered here 1 year ago, there are brothers among us today who have endured the unthinkable, the unexpected loss of a child, a spouse. Are we proactively reaching out and offering to be there and help? Or is it easier to assume, I'm sure somebody else already did. I don't want to butt in. He'll let us know if he needs anything. Are we committed to contributing to the relief of poor, distressed Master Masons, their widows and orphans? Or are those just platitudes, disposable words? If we miss the opportunity to sow the seeds of developing authentic, long-term friendships, we could easily devolve into little more than a Shakespeare club or a speech and debate team in which we memorize a bunch of dialogue, do our best to repeat it perfectly, and then relentlessly criticize one another over the smallest mistakes. By the way, nobody's getting their pay docked for missing a word here or there. While we must certainly strive to get our ritual right, and yes, corrections are absolutely necessary, how are you delivering that feedback? Are you whispering good counsel in a helpful, constructive way? Or are you using the megaphone of humiliation? One of my early mentors, an old school titan, was known to say, well, that's how I learned it, and so will you. Positive reinforcement is needed in our lives. And as men, we don't need that much. But why do we give so little? Let's pick up that trowel and use it. The cement of brotherly love is not a magnet, but it keeps things together. The deepest level of friendship and brotherhood is based on mutual respect and admiration, requiring trust, and most importantly, an investment of time. Are we dedicating enough time to developing our friendships and establishing that essential foundation of authentic brotherhood? Your petitioners are counting on it, if not expecting it. As dependence is one of the strongest bonds of society, mankind were made dependent on each other for protection and security, as they thereby enjoy better opportunities of fulfilling the duties of reciprocal love and friendship. If we are actually there for one another in life, the ups and downs, the struggles and victories, the celebrations and challenging times, imagine how that could motivate and impact attendance. Brothers getting more involved and remaining active. It is up to all of us to be authentic, genuine, and self-aware. And no, we should not lose the fun side of our interactions, the good-natured banter, share some laughs. But it's all about self-awareness that will ensure balance and a brother knowing in his heart that you have his back. What induced you to become a Master Mason? Are you who you say you are? In all likelihood, you're here today because you're a leader in some capacity. What are you doing in your community to regain relevance and top-of-mind awareness for your lodge? It may feel like the initial steps are small, but that's okay. Brother Benjamin Franklin reminded us that, quote, energy and persistence conquer all things, unquote. What are we waiting for? We often tell ourselves we don't have enough time when really we don't always have enough focus. If your lodge has struggled post-COVID or even before that with getting a community service initiative off the ground, you have starting points that are in place. The fire suppression program being launched this year, which will undoubtedly provide a massive opportunity for visibility in our communities. Another tremendous option for every lodge in our state is partnering with Minnesota Masonic Charities, touring the hospital, bringing prospects and members to see the real-life examples of what we are doing as Masons, investing in medical research, the Institute for the Developing Brain, tirelessly seeking a cure for cancer through innovative research that is touching lives both locally and around the world. This is happening literally in our backyard. And the time has come to seize the opportunity to partner with charities in the impactful work being done. How about that for a starting point when your friend, neighbor, colleague, or lodge prospect asks, "What are Masons doing to positively impact the world?" Let's focus our efforts on quality over quantity in all that we do. Quality in everything. Back to basics. Investing time and establishing a foundation of long-term, authentic friendships. In closing, you've likely heard our grandmaster share the famous quote from Vince Lombardi, "Perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence." If we are, in fact, who we say we are, what will it take for us to do for each other what we promised at the altar? Minnesota Masonry's finest hours lie ahead of us. Let's commit to life what we committed to memory.
Under normal circumstances, I would follow up with some pithy comment, but we're not going to do that today.